The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sister sent word to Jesus saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death. Well, they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, he will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, and he became moved in the deepest part of himself. And deeply troubled, he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. I guess it's a safe thing to say that of all the things that human beings face, the one thing that frightens them the most is death. Because death marks a type of an absolute end. What happens after we die? Up to this point, no one has ever come back and told us what happens. Usually we assume when we die, we simply go out of being. And there may be something like life after death, but we're not quite sure. And so we've seen, especially in the last century, a whole focus on living everything now, not worrying about the past, not worrying about the future, only worrying about the now. But there's a problem with that, and we see it addressed in this gospel. And that is, as human beings, we can't just live for the now, because we recognize that there's going to be a tomorrow, and a day after tomorrow, and a week after tomorrow, and a year after tomorrow. And if we only live in the day, then what happens with the day after that? What happens if I spend everything on this day thinking it's going to be the end, and I wake up and, oh, I got a whole other day to live? How are we going to deal with that? The answer to that's very simple, and it's really built into our Christian faith by very nature, and that is hope. Pope Benedict just recently, at the end of November, wrote a document on hope because he says this is a world that is starved for hope. And just look around and you see there's not a lot of hope present in the world, but a real hope. You see that especially when you have these, for lack of a better word, these young people who often have everything but common sense. You see them jutting from here, from there. They're being taken. Their picture's always being taken. Their every move is being followed, whether it's significant or insignificant. Going to a Starbucks, say, get a whole front page someplace. It's real stupid. But the real stupid part is that these people are doing what? Absolutely nothing. They seem to have no future. And what do we see happening when people have no future? Well, one of these Hollywood stars overdosed on drugs. Another one is so messed up, can't even have her own kids right now. And there's other ones who are going on that are equally messed up over drugs or whatever the case may be, alcohol, or just so much enthralled with this cult of themselves, they can't think beyond their own nose. And then we wonder why the world is as it is. Pope Benedict says very clearly something that is pointed out explicitly in this gospel. There can be no hope without God. If there's no God, there can be no hope. And we see what happens here. We see Martha and Mary weeping and mourning the death of their brother Lazarus. Their friends are there to comfort them and console them, and yet it doesn't seem to be doing anything for them. But instead, here comes Jesus. And Jesus comes, and the first thing Martha does, she runs out to him and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died." She recognized that her hope lies not in an idea, it lies in Jesus. Her hope was in Jesus. "Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died." And Jesus reminds her, "I am here, and he will live." And Martha says, "Lord, I know he will live in the resurrection on the last day." Even the Pharisees began to believe in an idea of resurrection. Martha just didn't know how quickly Jesus was going to raise Lazarus. It's not going to be the last day. It's going to be today. Then Mary comes out and says the same thing to the Lord. But they know that their answer does not lie so much in the consolation of friends who mean well and try to help them. Their consolation is in the Lord, because Jesus promises something more than simply a shoulder to cry on. Jesus promises us everlasting life. Jesus promises us life to come, eternal life, of which we have just a taste of right now. See, hope is connected to faith. We see that Martha and Mary already have faith. They know who Jesus is. They know he is the Messiah. They know he is the one who was sent by God to give them life. And they've already experienced the grace of that, if you will, the first fruits of that. And because they've already experienced these first gifts of God through faith, with Mary, of course, it was the gift of repentance for her sins. But out of that experience now, God's opening up the door to them saying, I'm not done with you yet. God's not done with any of us yet. And as a matter of fact, if God started something good in us, he's not going to stop until something better happens. God's going to see us through to completion. That's what we believe. That's what our faith teaches us. God does not write us off. God does not abandon us. God does not have an acceptable loss here. He has great hope for us. God hopes in us. We usually think of our hope in God, but God is hoping for us because he recognizes we have a free will. He recognizes we could choose to accept him or to reject him. And he hopes that with all that he gives and with the church that he provides, that he will be accepted. That's his hope. Because in accepting that, we are accepting the most precious gift he has to give us, which is the gift of everlasting life, the gift of resurrection. And so we see Christ as the Son of God has become hope in the world. And not just hope in the world. At this moment, he is the hope for the world. We've seen the first fruits of that hope where? The woman at the well. I will give you living water, water that will never dry up. We see it where? With the man who is born blind, and the Lord gives him sight. And now we see him at the highest point, and that is restoring life to Lazarus, to show that death is not going to have the final word. And all of this is preparing us for the real hope to come, which is Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection, which we now just celebrate in 2 weeks. There is our hope. There is our meaning. That's the direction that we have. That's what's going to give us new life. So much so that when we celebrate the feast of Easter, the feast of the resurrection, what do? We baptize. We bring new life. And with that new life comes youthfulness. We often forget that Christians are the youngest people in the world. Yes, we're going to get old. Yes, things are going to start sagging and dragging. We can't avoid that. We're human. That's our bodies. But the Lord's not going to measure us by our bodies. He's going to measure us by our whole being, which is also including our soul. And to have an old soul is to have a soul that has doubts. It's a soul that lacks faith. It's a soul that has sin. And we see an old world that we're living in right now. Death is what's ruling things. Selfishness and pride and violence and oppression. Oh, that's the old world. It's not the new world Christ came to give us. It's a world in which there is no hope. And where there's no hope, all there is the now. But Christ says, yes, there is the now. But there is also the time to come. The time of fulfillment, the time in which all those seeds that he planted in our heart are going to bloom, and they're going to blossom, and they're going to bear tremendous fruit. And that's what we believe happens in the resurrection. That life, that eternal life, which we have a taste in baptism now, we're going to get the full course of it at our death and resurrection on the last day. When Christ comes in glory and our body and soul are reunited in that resurrection of the body, there is where we will know who we are. We know we are God's children right now. We know that we are precious in his eyes. We know he has spared nothing in bringing us to life. He gave even his son for us who died on the cross. He has spared nothing in saving us. And yet we still just see the glimpses. And this glimpse that the Lord gives Martha and Mary and the people around them by telling Lazarus to come forth is taking away that heart of stone, as Ezekiel said, and giving him a beating heart, a living heart, a heart which is the heart of Christ, which beats in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. There is going to be our life. There is going to be our strength, that when things seem hopeless, we recognize we're only hopeless if God isn't there. But God is always there. That's what faith teaches us. And where there is God, there is always going to be hope. There is always going to be the opportunity for God to work in us, to work in the world, and to continue to bring the world to its fulfillment. God finishes what he wants to start in us. And we have another step in God finishing us today as we receive his body and his blood, the gift of the Holy Eucharist, the gift of the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. That's who we receive, Christ glorified under the appearances of bread and wine. And he wants to make us young again. He wants to give us hope and enthusiasm when sometimes the world wants just to take it away. But may that Eucharist strengthen us, and may it bring us that next step along. Because what God has started in us, he will finish. And we know that not just through faith, we know it in hope, because God never lies. And we see the things that God finishes, and they're beautiful, and they're glorious, and they're true. And so let us pray today that when he is finished with us, that we too will be beautiful, glorious, and true. But now in this world, that we'll be able to have glimpses of that for ourselves, but most importantly for others, those others who lack hope, who lack God. That the church, and especially our faith through the church, will help people to say, Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is our true hope. And with him, there is nothing for us to fear, because Christ has conquered the most fearful thing of all, and that is death. And he gives us instead his divine and glorified life.